Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Ben's Friends is the food and beverage industry support group, offering hope, fellowship, and a path forward to professionals who struggle with substance abuse and addiction. Ben's Friends exists to provide a safe haven and an anonymous, judgment-free forum for workers in an industry that has one of the highest rates of substance abuse in the country. Their mission hasn't changed during quarantine. Ben's Friends chapters across the country are now offering online meetings. You can find a chapter near you at benfriendshope.org.
Welcome to HR and Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Auburn, Alabama. For me, I'm Kat Johnson, your host. And I'm joined by Hannah Forden, who is in...
Titusville, New Jersey, baby.
We've got Dylan
Hoyer.
It's a
beautiful day.
From Western Mass.
We've got Matt Patterson.
Newport, Rhode Island.
And our guest of honor on this week's episode is none other than Zara Tangora, coming to us live from...
the Eye of the Storm in Brooklyn, New York.
The epicenter. How is everyone doing this week? This is our third happy hour coming to you virtually. How's everybody doing?
Feeling okay.
Yeah, I have today. To say, like, our Thursday evening ritual has been a nice highlight of quarantine to be able to, like, we've been doing a lot of team catch-ups on Google Hangouts and Zoom meetings and all that fancy stuff. But to be able to, like, just sit back and, like, catch up properly has been a really nice routine.
Since the HRN fun rating week starts on Wednesday, I'll say since Wednesday, my week's been going well.
Excellent.
It's picked up this Wednesday to Thursday.
As I mentioned before when we were just chit-chatting, I am living my best life. I am thriving in this pandemic. My nails have never looked better. And as I mentioned, I'm looking forward to April being my month.
April's the month.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. JK. No, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm as good as can be expected.
I think that's all we can ask for, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're all healthy.
You know, there's the saying about April showers, and I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't mind if it just kind of rained all month so that it gave us, like, a reason to be inside other than a pandemic.
That is insanity. I've been so sad every time that it's raining, and I want to go outside, and I can't go outside. I mean, or, you know, like, I can, and I have been. But come on, sun. I still want sun. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm not with you on that, Kat. I'm sorry. I think that's also probably one of the privileges that, you know, I am not in the city anymore, and so being able to, like, go outside... even though it's, like, very lonely because I don't see any people. I just see deer and trees and grass. But going outside has been very helpful for my sanity. So I don't agree.
That is true. That is true.
I think Kat is saying that from sunny Alabama.
Fair enough.
She's losing touch with our cold northeastern
she's
weather.
Tired. She's tired of the good weather. She's like, oh, so hard.
I'm looking for, like, another reason to justify just, like, you know, like, cozy movie nights and movie days.
I agree with you. I feel you on that. I feel personally a lot of pressure when the weather is nice out to be outside at every moment. And so for me, I've actually also looked forward a little bit to the grayer days because it seems like being inside makes more sense on a grayer day. And, like, especially being in the city, like, I'll try to go out for an early morning run, like, wearing a mask and, you know, being safe and everything. But it's, like, important, I think, around here to kind of stay in. So I'm with you on that because it feels like it makes me feel more normal about being inside.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. So it's happy hour. I've definitely heard Matt crack a can open. What's everyone drinking?
I have the Exhibit A Brewing Company from my hometown in Massachusetts. Sunday Paper Imperial Stout with coffee.
Mm.
Wow.
It's very good.
Yum.
Anybody else have a beverage?
Well, you said you were making a cocktail, Kat. What'd you make?
Did you succeed, or you have like whiskey plus ice?
close. I tried very last minute to decide to make something, and I did have a rye whiskey, so I started with that. And then I was like, well, what else do I have? And normally I would have, you know, dry vermouth available to make something pretty easily. That did not make the trip down here, and I have not re-upped the supply. So I decided to make a sort of old-fashioned, but with rye whiskey. And then I used a little bit of cane syrup to sweeten it, some bitters, some Fee Brothers bitters, and then a bit of maraschino cherry juice. I found a jar of maraschino cherries in this house. And yeah, that's it. I was a little concerned at how it was going to come out, but it's not bad. Hmm. So cheers.
That sounds good. Cheers. I'm drinking a thyme and ginger tea, like tonic, that I made myself because apparently thyme, fresh thyme, that's right, prickly old thyme that you find in any store is supposed to be like the best herb for lung health. So I've been making thyme and ginger tea, and it's supposed to keep your lungs nice and spongy and moist.
That is so cool. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Thyme.
I love that. That's good advice.
Yeah. I have some thyme. I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, you should, for sure. It's supposed to be, like, of all the things I researched and, like, anticipating finding all these, like, wacky different herbs, and there are many that are supposed to be good for lungs, but, yeah, thyme is supposed to be the best.
Huh. Yeah. Cool.
Pretty groovy.
Well, we thought it was important to, I mean, we've been trying to, like, connect with hosts over happy hour since we don't get to see your lovely faces in the studio at Roberta's these days. But especially since you are the host of two shows, Life's a Banquet and Processing, which we think right now is such an important topically for all of us to talk about grief, talk about mental health, because I read a really amazing article in, of all things, the Harvard Business Review that was about looking at this time as a time of, like, collective grief. And a lot of people don't realize that what they're feeling is very similar to the cycles of grief that you would feel from a loss.
Absolutely.
So do you want to tell any HRN Happy Hour listeners who might not know the background on Processing, what the show's all about? I know you were on once before.
Totally. Yeah, I'd love to. So Processing is a show about the intersection of food and grief. And we started it, my mom, Bobby, is the co-host. And we started it because I'm a chef and Bobby is a psychotherapist specializing in trauma and grief. And she also used to be a chef and she's an amazing cook. And we wanted to kind of start a show to disarm the stigma surrounding grief. And what a better kind of universal binder and kind of way to get people to open up than food. So we saw a really cool connection there. And yeah, you're absolutely right, Hannah, when you say that this is like much like the stages of grief. I mean, you have, you know, the denial and the acceptance and the bargaining, all the kinds of things that people do when they're grieving, you know, because we are collectively grieving the loss of all our normal lives. And you know, even if you, like, I'm trying to really count my blessings, and there are all kinds of people who have been affected in ways from losing loved ones to losing their jobs, their income, all kinds of things. But even if you're someone who has not experienced, you know, a really traumatic loss in the situation, like, still losing your routine is huge. You know what I mean? Like, losing normal, losing what you see in your community, businesses, and seeing, like, shuttered storefronts and stuff. I mean, that's lost too. And it's all just very strange. So I think that's very accurate that we all are globally experiencing grief. And it's tough. I don't know that we've ever all really been in it like this before, or at least not in a very long time.
Do you think that also at the same time, it's like there's a unity in it, because I, to your point, like we are all experiencing this at the same time. So like, have you seen instances of that? Have you seen people sort of trying to come together to cope with this temporary new normal in creative ways?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I think that times of deep crisis are always times when you see amazing unity and amazing community. And I think, like, we all, it's illuminated how much community is important. And you see these, like, beautiful gestures of, you know, I mean, just in New York, like, seeing people out their windows every night at 7 cheering for healthcare workers, folks just kind of, like, helping each other with packages and going shopping for people who are older. And I mean, there's a myriad of ways in which folks are finding the beauty in this, you know. There's definitely a huge opportunity. I think we're probably all in agreement in this, that like there's a huge opportunity for growth from this, you know, from seeing how the canals in Venice are clear and what that actually, what our, you know, carbon footprint looks like and how we could reduce it to, you know, bring back nature, to just kind of understanding systems in our country that don't work that for people, and that's being illuminated now. So I think there's like huge opportunity for growth and togetherness. I think it's up to us whether or not we want to really like capitalize on that, or we're just eager to move back into our normal lives. And I hope it's the former.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, something that we've been talking a lot about on the network as a whole is, like you're talking about, systems are being, we're seeing systems that aren't working in a really clear way now. And one of those is the restaurant industry, and specifically like labor around restaurants, and how there's no social safety net, both for these small businesses and then the people that are working in them. I mean, you used to run a restaurant. So what have you been seeing? What is your takeaway from this as someone who's been in on the inside of it before? What do you hope comes out of this when we can finally go back to hopefully normal in these restaurants? We're hoping can all kind of hang on and reopen.
Yeah, well, I hope a few things. I mean, this is just my personal opinion, but I've been very pro-union for restaurants for a very long time. I think that the restaurant industry like should absolutely be able to unionize. It's a huge industry, and like you're saying, there's people have no safety net whatsoever. I hope that aside from like the practical changes, like making sure that there is a safety net instilled for us on a government level for, you know, in terms of like healthcare and paid sick leave and you know, stuff like that, like that a lot of other industries have. I think that people look upon service work as less than, and there's a stigma attached to it that like, oh, I hope I'm not a bartender when I'm 50. And I've never understood that, because I think it's such a great way to make a living. It allows you to have time to pursue other things. It's engaging. It's, I mean, I could go on. I have just such a tremendous amount of respect, and I am part of the service community. So, but I think that societally it's looked down on almost as those service workers somehow don't deserve to be protected the way everyone else does, because it's not like a quote unquote real job. And that really has to change. And that has had to have changed for a while. And I really hope that this is the catalyst for that change, and that we can unify as an industry to stand up for ourselves, to protect ourselves like other industries. And then furthermore, I really hope that on the human level, that people who are not in the industry reassess how they look at service work, kind of like what I was saying before. But also I hope that it bleeds into how people behave in restaurants, their entitlement and respect for just being in a place, you know what I mean? And I'm writing a piece about this right now, but I really hope that for folks who don't get to open their restaurants again, and I hope there are not many of those, but for those of who don't get to, I hope that they realize that what they've already created will never disappear, because the memories that people forge in restaurants and what it means to people is untraceable, and it's also unerasable. So I hope that people know that.
Yeah, I think that you're kind of proof of that with your restaurant, Brucey. Yeah, people still like rave about it. It's those memories definitely don't go anywhere. That's for sure.
Yeah. And you don't know what goes on, right? So if you never open your restaurant, you don't know how many people fell in love in your restaurant and then from there started a family, or like what it meant to them because they went on a day like after someone in their family passed away. Anyway, so I just hope that people know if they don't open their places again that they've already won.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that way of thinking about it. Like, I think the best advice I got as like a teenager was like, regret the things you do, not the things you don't do. And like, same thing, like a business that for whatever reason doesn't live as long as you want it to, like, especially restaurants create so much. And I mean, that's such a huge part of processing is like, how does food play into the important parts of our life, our memories, our like emotional landscape. And before we started recording, we were all kind of like chatting about like what we were sipping on and like what we're doing to take care of ourselves right now. And I'm just curious, Zara, like you're an amazing chef. What are you doing to like take care of yourself, and like what role does food play in that right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, it's a funny thing. I think that a lot of folks think that if you're a chef, that when you come home, your home is filled with like amazing baked goods and you're always cooking for yourself. And I can just speak for myself, but I know from knowing a lot of other chefs that that's very rarely true. And I'm also single and I live alone. And so I rarely cook for myself. I mean, my refrigerator is usually empty. I have like a cucumber and I'm out a lot. You know, I go out to restaurants a lot and I don't ever cook for myself. So I've been using this time and really trying to like, you know, I'm very comfortable alone, but you know, I'm also trying to fight off the loneliness blues a bit and do things that are like restorative for me. And I have really enjoyed beginning to cook at home, and I am making myself like nice meals, and I'm like sitting down at the table and like lighting candles and just sitting by myself and like eating a nice meal. And that feels really good. And it's something I haven't done in a long time. And it's like really, it's really good for my soul, and I'm really enjoying it. And the, you know, hard part is like, normally if I do cook something, I always like bring something up to neighbors, or I'll like bring leftovers over to my friends who work at Frankie's or something. And I feel like, you know, nobody wants anybody else's food really in this moment. So I have, my freezer is definitely full, but that's kind of what I'm doing on the food end. And then oddly enough, I'm taken to watching like a lot of old Robert Redford movies to kind of soothe myself. And it sounds funny, but like, it's just kind of giving me a little bit of hope in the future and a little bit of dreaming. And I think like, you know, for me, it's like watching Robert Redford movies, cause he, like him in the 70s is the hottest thing ever to me. But you know, I it sounds funny, but like, I think it's important for everybody to just, in part of self-care, remember to keep still like dreaming, and whatever that is to you, that's fine. But,
Find your Robert Redford, everyone.
Find your Redford, brah. Or you can take actual Redford.
Well, that makes me think of something that you just said, Zara. So I think everyone is maybe, things have changed so much for us personally that I think we are all taking time for ourselves and doing things that we're actually finding that we really enjoy. Question for the room. What are some of those other things, like Zara and for everyone, what are those things that you might take with you beyond this, you know, social distancing era?
For me, I think the thing that I'm doing that I want to take with me beyond this era is being, like, again, I'm very comfortable being alone. I really like my alone time. But I don't like it being forced on me. And then when it is, I become uncomfortable with that. So I think in this time, I'm really tucking in to like the kind of throwing your hands up and being like, well, I'm alone, or whatever that is. So I hope that I can just take patience from this, right? Like, I hope that I can take sitting with an uncomfortable feeling better. And like, I think I'm getting good at that. And I hope that I take that with me. And I'm also learning to make bread like the rest of the world for the first time. And I hope I also take that with me.
If you're not making sourdough, what are you even doing?
That's exactly what we've...
I love that everyone's getting over their gluten intolerance all of a sudden. The past like decade, everyone's developed gluten intolerance. And oh my gosh, it's gone now.
It's a miracle.
Isn't that strange? Yeah.
What were you going to say, Matt?
Oh, I was just going to say, I've been getting good at passing off other people's professionally made bread as my own on Instagram. things I would like to take with me, so I've been feeling like I've been getting overwhelmed more easily than normal by, like, just lots of things, but, like, looking at a phone, basically, is one of them. And so, like, single tasking is the thing I would like to remember to take with me. Mm. Just, like, realizing when it's time to just focus on one thing and shut everything else out and just try and do that thing as well as I can and then not. And then surface at some point when it's done or whatever and worry about the next thing, but, like, not trying to stay on top of all the stuff at once, because I think at least when I was being worse about including the news cycle in that stuff, it was just feeling like totally crazy making.
Mm. No, that's a really, really good point. I was thinking about that today, that permission to, like, take breaks when you need them. And slow down, that, like, I know in our office, like, we eat lunch at our desks most days and, you know, are kind of, like, running from task to task because we're, you know, proudly running a very small, scrappy nonprofit. But that means there's not a lot of time to, like, slow down and reflect on what you've been doing. And while I really miss working in the office with everybody, that, like, that slowing down and, like, I'm going to take a lunch break and, like, step outside and, like, make a phone call, whatever, like, that's a really good one. But what I was actually going to say is, like, one really stupid basic thing that I want to take away is I have always been really bad on the phone. As a kid, I had, like, a lot of anxiety around, like, phone calls. Like, when caller ID became, like, a normal thing in households, it was, like, a transformative moment for me, because I was dealing with an estranged parent who would call at all hours of the night and freak me out, and it was just, like, I just got this, like, weird phobia that I kind of have carried into adulthood. Like, it's terrible. I have friends who live out of town, and, like, I'll text and, like, occasionally call, but, like, I would rather just, like, when I see you, I'll unload the past 6 months of things on you. I'm not good at the maintenance. But, like, being concerned for, like, especially, like, yeah, friends who live alone or, live far away, it's become a part of, like, my daily ritual to check in on people, and to kind of let go of my own fears in the interest of the people that I care about. So that's something I want to, like, carry on.
I love that.
I think for me, it's, like, yeah, not being stressed out by moments of quietness and at the same time not having reading for pleasure or doing something creative be just a goal, but in a moment of quiet, being able to do those things and just find so much more pleasure and relaxation from them. So I've been, I don't know, just taking that time to read more, or I did a drawing and a painting, things I just wouldn't normally do at all, and just remembering that those are still things I can do if I don't have plans after this is over, and that I don't just have to make plans or go out or watch Netflix, like, that there are other options to keep yourself occupied.
Wow, I feel like you guys have really done a lot more growth than me in the last 3 weeks. But yeah, I think what Hannah was saying is kind of where I'm at right now is, like, you know, working from home is like, it really, it's hard to be away from everyone and not just have that face-to-face time, but rethinking sort of, like, that my day of work can be, you know, split up into a different way where, like, I can go and have lunch outside, or I can, you know, have with you the day. Like, yesterday I actually made, like, bolognese, and I was able, because I could sit here and, like, work at the kitchen table while I made bolognese. And, like, I don't know, I do think that we'll, like, be in this sort of new normal for a while, and that can kind of be how it continues. And I don't know, once we all sort of, a lot of us go back into offices, if that's something that we carry with us, but it would really be nice. Maybe we can all have kitchens in our offices and make bolognese at work. I don't know.
I also read something the other day that was such a good reminder for me, and it said, You're not working from home. You're at home during a crisis trying to work.
Yes.
And I feel like that's so important to keep in mind.
It really is. Like, oh, I feel like the first week doing this, I was like, I was putting a lot of pressure on myself. And then I realized that's not making me any more productive.
Absolutely. No, and the circumstances are insane. Like, you can't, working from home does not normally include literally like hour by hour. It's just like monumental news items. No, that first week was nuts.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I feel like that first week also helped to teach me, because I was doing the same thing as Kat, of being like, oh my God, I'm not being productive enough. Like, I should be constantly working and like trying to solve problems and make sure that like everything's being taken care of. And I was like, hold up, you're losing your goddamn mind and like not taking care of yourself. And so like, I feel like in the most recent week and a half of like, I'm prioritizing taking care of myself. And because of that, I'm getting more work done, you know, and like taking those breaks and like, you know, maybe I start working 30 minutes later than I normally would, but that's because like I was exercising and that's going to make me like happier for the rest of the day and like more productive.
Yeah, that's a big lesson to learn from this.
Yeah, letting go of that New York, if you're not doing 4,000 things and the busiest person in the world, you're not worth enough.
Like, yeah.
Right. Totally.
Well, let's take a really quick break and then we'll come back and we'll have a couple more questions for Zara. And then Zara, we're going to have you play our brand new game.
Hell yeah. I'm so excited to play a game.
Stay tuned.
As the news of coronavirus reverberates throughout the world, we at HRN are especially concerned about how coronavirus will impact our food system. We will use our platform to support the restaurant, agriculture, hospitality, and other food-related industries by maintaining our coverage and operations. As social distancing becomes the temporary norm, podcasts are more important than ever. There's never been a more crucial time to stay informed about the state of our food system and the ways that food connects our global community. We're sharing all of our COVID-19 coverage at heritageradionetwork.org/COVID-19, from interviews with nonprofit leaders and journalists, to firsthand accounts from chefs and restaurant owners, to reports on how this crisis is affecting regional farms. Our team is working remotely from all over to keep food radio alive. HRN needs your support more than ever to keep sharing essential stories and resources with our listeners. Make a donation of any amount. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
All right, welcome back to HR and Happy Hour. We are here with Zara Tangora, the host of not one, but two HRN podcasts, Processing, which she hosts with her mom, Bobby, and Life's a Banquet, which she hosts with, wait, remind me your co-host name, Zara.
Nicole Bailey.
Yay. So we talked a little bit about Processing, but how are things going on Life's a Banquet?
Well, you know, normally on Life's Banquet is a very silly show. I venture to say maybe one of the silliest podcasts on the air.
And, absolutely.
It's the opposite of Processing, complete 180. And, you know, for a couple of weeks, Nicole and I both did not feel comfortable just kind of going right into our normal, like, totally wacky, zany thing. So we did a couple of weeks of just, like, touching base with our listeners and ourselves and kind of assessing a few of the daunting things facing our country and world. And then this week we got back into it with a rip-roaring episode dedicated to our favorite food commercials, but, you know, still like addressing the fact that there is a huge crisis going on, but trying to like remember that people also still need to laugh and be distracted and take a brain break once in a while, including us. And it felt really good, actually.
Totally. I think that, you know, in having kind of conversations with some of HRN supporters and friends and family, they're of course like, well, we know you're going to be covering how COVID-19 is impacting all of us, but what about like your normal shows? Like, you're not going to just change everything to only talk about a pandemic, are you? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, we're all going to be sitting at home and we need like a mental break from it. So I think Life's a Banquet is an excellent example of
shows...
that.
Between the shows that are like not necessarily inclined to cover it, and also the archive of material that is, you know, from a different time. There's a lot of opportunities for, like, if you want to escape into something that is not at all talking about this current situation, we have many opportunities to do that.
Totally.
Yeah, it's important. It's important to balance, right? Like, I think it's so important to, like, find a balance during this of, like, you know, not pretending it isn't happening and not being tone deaf and, like, I mean, whatever that means for anybody, but, you know, I've definitely seen plenty of examples of, like, missing the point. and then also, it doesn't have to be, like, everything you think about at every moment of the day, right? I think, like, most things in life, it's about balance, and whatever that means to you is different, and it's, you know, it's a goal, hopefully.
Yeah. All right, well, if we don't have any other questions for Zara, I think it is time to introduce her to our brand new happy hour game. You guys ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Zara, you've been on happy hour before, so you know that typically we would challenge you to trivia. But with this whole us not being in the same room situation, we have an opportunity to play a brand new game, which is 20 questions. And what we're going to ask you to do is pick an item in the room that you're sitting in, and we're going to play 20 questions and try to figure out what that item is that you're looking at.
So
let us know when you're ready.
Okay.
Alternatively, it could be something you could see outside that is not in the room.
That's also fair.
I think that's fair.
No, I've picked my item, but warning you that you may not guess it, but you may.
We had a very challenging item the first time we played this game, which was a giant glass Chinese buoy. We still don't know what that is. So
that's hilarious. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go but up.
All right. Who wants to kick it off with the question?
Okay.
Is the item? Oh yeah, go.
No, you. I didn't have a question. I was waiting for it to come to me.
Is the item bigger than your secret bread maker you're using to bake all your Instagram bread?
Yes.
It's bigger. Okay.
That was a yes.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Is it something that you use for storage, or is it? Yeah. Question.
Mm-mm.
No.
Is it a kitchen? Does it belong in the kitchen?
No.
Is it in your living area?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it something you might possibly seat yourself on?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Is it a piece of, would you consider it artwork or decoration?
Yes.
Okay, I have been to Zara's apartment, so now it's like a good test of how photographic my memory is, which is not Hannah, very.
Hannah, this is all you.
Oh, God. All of my pre-corona memories are gone. Yeah.
Zara, is it made of textiles?
Oh, wait, hang on. You just crackled out a little bit. Is it what?
Is it made of textiles?
Kat, what was that last question?
Is it made of textile?
No, it's not made of textiles.
Okay.
Mm-mm, nope, no textile.
But is it, Zara, though, is it made of textiles?
It is not made of textiles.
Just checking.
Okay, good.
Is it hanging on the wall?
Yes.
Do you know the person that made this? Why is that important? I asked. It's too late.
It is important. The answer is no.
I just thought that'd be fun to know, you know?
Absolutely. I love that question.
Is anyone keeping track of the questions? How many questions are there?
Nine questions.
Okay. Wow. We have a whole universe of questions ahead of us. All right.
Okay. I don't know how to phrase this, but is it
a print? It's a print. Is it a print?
No. It's not a print, and you're gonna have to guess exactly what it is, though. Like, you're gonna have to get specific, otherwise, I'm not gonna say this is a win.
Okay. Is it a painting?
It is a painting.
Are there people in the painting?
Yes.
Is this the kind of painting that your like annoying family members are going to look at and be like, that's not art, I could do that?
No.
Do you good know question. People in the painting?
Yes.
Oh, well, do I know them personally?
Wait, do I know them personally, or do like are they notable people?
Ooh.
I do are not know them personally. People? Yes, they're notable people.
It's a painting
is
of
it
a celebrity.
For, is it? Oh wait, is that a print or a painting? Shit, is it for Marilyn Monroe's?
Mm-mm, nope, not in this house. I mean, I like Marilyn, but I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd have that up.
Is it Elvis?
But actually, I'm going to give you. Would you say is it Elvis? No, it's yeah. not. But I do have an Elvis that I had thought about maybe using as the guess. But I want to go back to the Marilyn thing. You're on the right track.
Is it pop art?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Okay, we're at no, 16 at questions. There's 4 questions left.
I'm always good for burning some questions.
So what? Recap what we know. Someone recap what we know.
It's a painting of a person or multiple people. I don't think we know if it's
people. It's definitely people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's people. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
And Zara does not personally know the artist, so you know that's helpful. And
they have something in common with Marilyn Monroe. Perhaps they're buxom ladies. Perhaps, I don't know.
But it's not is pop it? Art.
Yes, but they're being buxom lady, the only attribute of Marilyn Monroe.
Okay, is
By
it
the
a
way,
painting?
I wanted to say, wait, hang on. I wanted to say that I almost like sloughed off that I wouldn't have a painting of Marilyn Monroe. I love Marilyn. I guess they're just initially triggered something in me of like that I the kind of person. I don't know.
It's a
I like
cliche.
Marilyn. Let's just
leave
it at that. Right. It would have to be the right kind of painting of Marilyn. Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to ask, is it a painting of a musician?
No.
All right. Consider your questions carefully, everyone.
Hannah, just remember the fucking thing. Really? You've been there.
Like, I know really... there was a painting of ballerinas, but I don't think you know them. That's mm-mm. the only one I remember.
No. You're very warm with the Marilyn. I'm gonna go ahead and say that again.
Is it Audrey Hepburn?
No.
Thank you. Two left. You're close.
Do you want me to
Marilyn.
Give you like a question? Oh, go ahead.
Just clue, yeah, clue, like, clue, yeah, clue. A hint. A
okay,
hint.
A clue.
Oh my God, are we soliciting clues? We're so
Matt, be quiet.
The people in the painting are related to each other.
Are they Kennedys?
Ooh. That's what I was gonna ask.
Yes. They're Kennedys. It's a painting of JFK and RFK.
Oh,
that's amazing.
What?
Third time's the charm, you guys. This is the first time we actually won our own game.
Yes. Guys, good job.
Guys, we won trivia.
Good job. And also, a salute to you, the JFK and the RFK. Yeah, it's a painting
good
that
choice.
I found of them at, I believe, a story that many of us enjoy, Yesterday's News, right here in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn.
Absolutely. Aww.
Yeah, amazing vintage store.
That's great art to have in your apartment.
Yeah, it's real good.
So you're saying Robert Redford, Kennedys, you have a type.
You have a type.
I do, right? Oh my goodness. Can I just tell you, though, the Robert Redford thing is really getting me through this crisis. What a hunk. And I'm talking 70s Redford, okay?
Of course.
And like, I had never seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It really changed my life. What a fucking awesome movie.
I've been watching Mad Men, so we're on the same wavelength.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The Donnie Drapes is my numero dos now.
I'm actually more of a Roger Sterling girl myself, but we can talk about that later.
Wow.
Yeah, Sterling's good. You know, Roger Sterling's character reminds me a lot of, like, Paul. Now that Paul Newman has appeared in some of these Redford movies. I've always been a Newman fan, and I love Numinos. He reminds me a little bit of Roger Sterling, I was thinking the other day. John Slattery.
Yeah. We are also Newman fans.
I love him. Ugh. We are big Newman fans.
Well, you're going to love next week's episode of Life's Banquet because Nicole and I, she's a Newman, I'm a Redford, and we're going to do a Newman-Redford episode of Life's Banquet.
I love that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We should send that to Nell, or maybe not. We'll see how it turns out.
Well, yeah, we should listen to that carefully first and then consider sending it to Nell.
Who's Mel? Mel Newman?
Yeah. Mel Newman is his daughter, who is a very good friend of the network and does a lot of philanthropic work to improve our food system.
OMG, we'll make sure it's super flattering. I mean, how could it not be? We're talking about Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
The actual best.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, this was super fun, and Zara, thanks for joining us on Happy Hour.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. I was so excited when you guys rang me and when you rang my secretary and asked if I could make this appointment.
You said, my people will call your people.
Dorothy and I were both thrilled.
And I said, Zara, yes. We are your people.
No, seriously, thank you so much. It was really fun to like get to hang out with you guys. I miss you so much. And yeah, thanks for like, I just wanted to like give a little shout out to y'all. I mean, for everything, but I feel like social media is important at this point in terms of like sharing good information, especially about like how, you know, in our industry, how to like help restaurants, how to help folks that are in need. You guys have been doing such a good job in sharing good information in that way. And it's amazing. It's using your power for good, which I think is hugely important in this crisis.
Thank you so much. Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, Zara. That's good awesome. Stuff. And everyone should listen to, like, Processing and Life's a Banquet are, like, the key to a well-balanced podcast diet. Because one will, you can get your cries out, and then the other one, you can get your giggles out, which we all need to do both.
So, thanks, babe.
Subscribe.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to HR and Happy Hour. We will be back next week with more of a respite from this pandemic social distancing world that we live in. See you then. HR and Happy Hour is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.